I feel like that in the days that we live in, and I guess maybe it's not just the days we live in, it's probably always been like this, that a steady diet of encouragement is helpful and it's in order. And I have a message this morning that I trust will be an encouragement to you. Have you ever seen one of those pictures? Maybe it's titled The Last Picture. Or maybe it's a picture that once viewed, people realized that things weren't as it seemed to be. You ever seen those pictures where you look at it and looks like somebody is on the top of the world? They're happy. Looks like things couldn't be any better. They're on the mountaintop. And then there's a bear or a lion coming up behind them, and they didn't know danger was there. Sometimes they never knew danger was there until it was up on them. And that was it. Camera was found, and that was the last picture they found. A selfie taken. And sometimes later, people look at it and they think, I thought I was so safe. I thought everything was so good. But it wasn't what it looked like. And it goes the other way too. I think about Elisha. You remember Elisha and his servant? And his servant looked out there and it looked like it was just danger and trouble. The enemy. Chariots. Looked like certain death right up on him. But they didn't see the whole picture. And Elisha said, could you open his eyes so that he could see? When he looked again, he saw that it was a whole lot different than what he thought it was. Amen. He saw chariots of fire and the hosts of the Lord way outnumbered the enemy. But he didn't see it to start with until his eyes were enlightened. Until he had a broader perspective of what was really going on, then better understanding came to pass. Well, it can happen on both sides. Well, this morning I'd like to read out of the 73rd Psalm. It is a familiar passage, and so I'm not going to read it all the way through. But in Psalm 73, my Bible says, a psalm of Asaph. And he started out and he said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. So he looked out there and he recognized God is good to Israel. But me, on the other hand, as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And so what Asaph did, he began to look out, and you can read it for the sake of time. I won't go through all of it. But he looked out there and it just looked like that those that were doing wrong were the ones that were prospering. It looked like wrong was almost like a coat that they were putting on themselves, a cloak. It was everything who they were was wrong and was against the Lord. And yet, it just seemed like everything was just going well for them. The answers were there. Prosperity was there. Fatness was there. And he began to look at that. He was trying to do right. He was trying to stick in there and do what was right, follow the law of the Lord. And then he started looking over there at the prosperity of the wicked. And he began to get envious. Not only did he see the prosperity, but he started to feel like they had it better than what he had it. And probably started questioning, what am I... Well, he did. I'll read it. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. That's the 13th verse. I've done all this in vain. I thought this was what I should do. I thought this was how I should live. Thought that this was the way that God wanted me to go and that there were promises of blessing if I live like that. But I'm just having trouble. Everywhere I turn, I just see trouble. But these people, they're prospering. Verily I cleansed my hands in vain. And it said in the 16th verse, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me to think about. But the story didn't end. 17th verse said, until I went into the sanctuary. When my eyes were opened, when I got in the presence of God, when I got still, when I separated myself and stopped looking at all of that seemed to be bad yet was ending in good, and I went to where truth resided, in the sanctuary, then I understood that it was a whole lot different than what I thought it was. And he found that when his eyes were enlightened. Changed his perspective, didn't it? I recall a class that I took in school. And it seemed like that no matter what anyone did, it looked like everybody was just failing. It didn't matter how hard we worked. Didn't matter what was done. It looked like that everybody ought to just throw their hands up and say, what's the use? Because it seemed like no good was coming out of all of the endeavors that were being done. The grades just kind of said, you ought to pack up and go home. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been in this place? What's the use? You ever felt that? Maybe you were trying to reach somebody, trying to do good, but it just seemed like you weren't getting anywhere. Maybe you were trying to show love to somebody that wasn't very lovable a lot of the time. And it just never seemed like it was turning into anything good. Maybe it's something in your own lives, something that you've struggled with and you've worked, you're trying to do right, trying to live right, trying to push through. And yet, it just seemed like no matter what you did, you just felt like saying, what's the use? Sometimes we can endeavor to live like a Christian and do what's right. And it seems like when we look around, we kind of feel like Asaph. It's like, this is causing me more trouble than it's helping me. Is this right? Is this how it's supposed to be? And we begin to question ourselves, our purpose. And we begin to wonder, what's the use? Maybe a place in your marriage, an area of your marriage you've worked on, you tried, it just seems like you're in the same place that you were a long time ago. And you think, what's the use? Maybe it's trying to reach a family member, a child, a brother, a sister, a parent. And it just felt like no matter what you did, you never quite got there. And you can start feeling like, what is the use of me continuing? In the little class situation, that the example that I gave, what the class didn't realize was that there was more value being given to things that the classmates didn't realize value was being attributed to. Things like continuing to show up every day. There wasn't anything on the board that says exams will be worth 60%, homework is going to be worth 30%, showing up to class is going to be worth 10%. There was nothing in there about showing up to class worth anything. Your exams are worth this much, your homework's worth this much, and homework was maybe 20%, and exams were 80%. That's where everyone's failing, it looked like. But there was value that we didn't realize. People didn't see showing up to class, perseverance, doing the things that you could do,
homework and turning it in, availing yourselves of the help that was given. And those that did that benefited in ways they never expected. And most didn't benefit because they did that. They said, what's the use? And they went home. And it wasn't about who was the smartest. It was about who had their heart into it. It was about who wanted it. It was about, where was my heart every day? Do I have a vision of where it is that I'm trying to go? And I find some spiritual similarities here in this passage in the 73rd chapter. I find spiritual similarities throughout our life like this. Asaph was endeavoring to live right, but he found himself not only discouraged with what he was doing, but he actually found himself envious. He started feeling like he was in second and third place. These folks were ahead of him in life. I want to bring you a message of encouragement this morning and say this. Don't ever give up in doing what's right. No matter how it feels, no matter the pressure that you feel going on around you, sometimes you look out and it seems like the results aren't there. The feedback that you're getting about your endeavors is not positive feedback. And it's easy to want to give up. I want to encourage you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Stick in there. You know, the world at large has that message that they give over and over to people about temporal things in life. Don't ever give up. Winston Churchill is credited with giving a speech, and there's some discussion about, you know, if it was really the shortest speech ever given, or if he ever gave it, or exactly how it was presented. But nevertheless, whether it was or wasn't, the message has lasted through the years, and that is, don't ever give up. Never give up. And many times they are talking about things that are going to pass. Temporal things that are going to pass eventually. And I want to encourage you today to apply that spiritually in your life and into doing good for the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to come back each day. The Scripture says that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I think that's in the third chapter of Lamentations. He can have new mercy for us, new grace, new portions of faithfulness that He extends to us if we'll be willing each day to come back and not be willing to give up. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Galatians, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." What does the word weary mean? Weary means tired. It means dispirited. Have you ever felt tired and dispirited? We will. Does this mean, as Christians, you shall and will never feel tired or dispirited? Well, if it does, then I've missed it. Because there's a lot of times I feel tired. And I have to fight feeling dispirited. But I believe that what this is talking about is, don't be tired and dispirited to the point of giving up. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up in going down the road of well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Well, why would we be weary in well-doing? I mean, maybe we should get tired of doing the wrong thing. But this is talking about being weary in well-doing. I remember when I was boy, I enjoyed riding my bicycle. I spent a lot of time on my bicycle. I loved riding my bicycle. Spent hours riding my bicycle. And I remember sitting at home one day, and I thought, and I liked going downhill too. Does anybody not like going downhill on their bicycle? I liked going downhill better than uphill. Maybe most of you feel that way too. That's where I was coming from. I liked the feel of the wind. I liked pedaling really hard just momentarily because you didn't have to real long. And you could get going real fast and then you could just stop pedaling. And down the hill you went. The bigger the hill, the better it was. And it was just exhilarating going downhill. And I remember being in my driveway at home and I was thinking, all right now, what route can I take so that I will always go downhill and end up back at my house? And I thought about it and I thought, well, if I go this way, I'll hit that hill, but sure enough, there's a hill going up that way, so I can't do that. And try as I might, I could not figure out how to leave my house and go downhill and end back up in my house. I never figured it out. And life is like that too. If you want to go downhill sometimes in life, a lot of time there's some uphill climbs that are out there. There's some hard pedals going. And here's the other thing I found. It always seemed like it took longer going uphill than it did downhill. Did y'all find that out when you rode your bikes? When you went downhill, it just seemed like the time spent going downhill didn't last as long as going uphill. And life will feel like that sometimes. We may try to figure out how can I go through life and have it be as much downhill as possible. And I think most of the time we won't ever figure it out. What we're going to figure out is that life is a lot about uphill. But it was designed that way. We can learn from going uphill. But the encouragement this morning is there's going to be times when you're laboring without a whole lot of indication of progress. Riding your bicycle uphill, I didn't have a 10-speed either, so it wasn't like I could shift into first gear. It was like the same gear going downhill as uphill, and it was hard to pedal. And it would be slow sometimes. And sometimes in life it feels like it's a slow pedal and the progress you're making isn't a whole lot of progress. Then the results don't seem to warrant the effort. And you could say, I think I'll just stay home. It's too hard going uphill. I enjoy going downhill, but it's too hard going uphill. The cost to benefit ratio doesn't tally out. Cost to benefit ratio. That's a term used in the business world where you say, how much is it going to cost me to go after this initiative and what are the benefits of it? There may be benefits of the initiative, but the cost might be too high. You'd be better off spending your money on something else and your effort that has a greater payback. And sometimes it feels like that way in doing good in life. It feels like the cost of doing good and continuing to come back one pedal crank at a time, we start to question whether the benefit is worth it. Because it's hard. And in life and in our spiritual lives, we feel pressure by the world too. A lot of pressure by the world that comes against us. Isaiah said in the 59th chapter of Isaiah in the 19th verse, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But did you know what I found is that sometimes we look around and all we see is the floodwaters. You been there? We know about this verse. We've read it. We believe it. And yet, it seems like the enemy can come in like a flood. And I look forward and there's floodwaters and they're just getting higher. And I look this way and there's floodwaters and that way and behind me. And I'm waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to come in to lift up a standard against the floodwaters. And it doesn't seem like the Spirit of the Lord is coming in like I think the Spirit of the Lord should. And we can begin to feel overwhelmed at times. Don't give up. Don't give up fighting. This is a promise of the Lord. There's going to be times where we're going to feel like and the enemy is going to come to us and he's going to say, what's the use? Why don't you just give it up? You can't possibly do this your whole life. You're just, it's like the chain came off the sprocket. Your wheels aren't even turning. You're turning the pedals, but you're not going anywhere. And you're starting to go backwards. Just give it up. What's the use? I want to tell you this morning what the use is. The Lord is taking notice of your labors. People are benefiting from the good that you are doing more than what you think. And there's going to come a day when the Lord is going to have a book of remembrance that He's going to open up. And there's going to be things that are going to be rewarded that maybe we didn't place a lot of value on, like perseverance and allegiance to the Lord and going ahead every single day and doing what's right, even though it feels like we should just throw up our hands and go back home and curl up in a ball and say, what's the use? There's a scripture in Malachi 3:16, and it says something like this: they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. It didn't say that the Lord told them that He hearkened. It said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Malachi 3:16, or right around in that area. And it said the Lord hearkened. He heard it. And it said a book of remembrance was written for those that feared Him and thought on His name. And He said, they shall be mine when I come back to make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a father spareth his own son who serveth him. That's a promise out of the Scriptures. When we do good, when we fear the Lord, when we stick in there even when it feels like it's just floodwaters all around us, the Lord hearkens. He hears it. He sees it. A book of remembrance is being written. It didn't say that immediately. The Scripture doesn't say that the reward would come immediately, but at the appointed time. And folks, there'll be a reaping if you do what's right. If you're not weary and well-doing. It said in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. You know, I've noticed before, sometimes I think this is sad, almost a little bit. Why is it that when somebody passes away, all of a sudden everybody starts coming forward and talking about how well influenced they were in their own lives, the good they got from that person, things that person never knew about? I just want to say this. Give people some flowers while they're still alive sometimes. Encourage people. You're not going to give them a big head. We all have a lot of battles in life. And it doesn't, people get knocked down a lot in life. If somebody does something for you, they're an encouragement to you, there's something in their life that's been a challenge, it's okay to encourage them with that and give some feedback and give them some flowers. There's nothing wrong with that. Not for the purpose of trying to lift them up and causing pride or any of those things, but just be thankful. It's okay to say thank you. But my point in all of this is, how many times have you gone to a place where memories were being shared and all of this stuff starts pouring out of how, what a positive influence they were in your life? You're the same way. You're having a positive influence on people's lives that you don't know anything about, because you're probably not getting a lot of feedback about it. But it is having an effect. You are having a positive effect. You are making a difference. And there will come a time when we don't see through a glass darkly anymore, but we see things more for how they are, and maybe we'll realize that that was seed that I sowed by the help of the Lord, and that was water that I gave, and it actually had some positive effect. Folks, be encouraged today to not be weary in well-doing. Isaiah also said in the 28th chapter, in the 10th verse, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." We make progress this way, kind of one rotation at a time. Here a little, there a little. But I also know that the enemy tries to chip away at our experience the same way. Take a little bit away from us here. Try to pull this line from us there. Weaken this precept. Try to discourage you over here. Saints, guard your salvation. Be encouraged in your salvation. Pursue it. Guard and pursue your marriage. Pursue discipleship. Be a light to the world, and don't ever stop being a light to the world. Don't be weary in doing these things. Don't give up in the weaknesses that you recognize that you have in your life. They may be there for a reason that you don't understand. God may be leaving them there for a reason, for a period of time, until the time comes to give you the victory over it. And somebody else might be involved that needs help from that. I don't know. But don't be weary in working on those places in your lives. Don't be discouraged with them. Keep pushing forward. Go to the sanctuary of the Lord often. That's where Asaph found perspective. That's where his eyes were opened. Get still before the Lord. Ask the Lord to fill you with His presence. Job remained steadfast when it just seemed like floodwaters were all around him. Elijah looked around and said, "What's the use? I'll just curl up and die. I'm the last one that's serving the Lord." And he wasn't. He just didn't see that. Noah worked on an ark for 100 years with everybody laughing and scoffing at him, telling him, "What are you doing that for? You've never even seen rain." Day after day, year after year. Jesus went a little farther in the garden. For us, can't we go a little farther too? May God help us to be willing to go a little farther. Yes, it will take some faith. There will be some trying times associated. That's why the Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. James said in the first chapter, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him." And Paul said, "Be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When you feel tempted, when you feel like this, what's the use? Fortify yourself. Be encouraged. Don't let go. Keep pushing forward. Think about the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us that pushed all the way to the end and crossed the finish line. And I think sometimes of our loved ones that have gone before us that are now on the other side cheering us on, saying, yes, the Scriptures are right. The promises are true. There is an eternal life. That too will pass. Don't give up. Keep pushing forward. And if we do that, we too will have a crown that's awaiting for us. And we can have a place in helping other people make it across the finish line too. It helps me sometimes to remember this, not all about me. That's a rut we can get in, where we start becoming discouraged because our focus is too much on me. I'm not happy. I don't like this. This isn't what suits me. I don't see the results that I think I'd like to have in my own life. But it's not all about me. It's not all about you. We've been called to be disciples, followers of Christ. We've been called to be a light to the world. And we live in a world where people are in need. We live in a world where people need others to be willing to rise up and serve a cause that's greater than ourselves. And if we can capture the vision that Jesus Christ captured when He said, for the joy that was set before Him, if we can capture that, we too can endure some tiring times, some times when we feel weary, some times when we feel like giving up and saying, what's the use? What is the use? The use is this. If you won't be weary in well-doing, in due season, you will reap, and other people will benefit if you faint not. Let's be encouraged this morning to be faithful. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.